Salvation is through God's word. Salvation means that we can be certain that we're going to heaven. Today we'll learn more about heaven and what a blessing it is to be in heaven with God forever. During my Christian life, I have been to many Christian retreats or camps. How many of you have also been to retreats or camps? Put up your hand. Good. So, usually to encourage people to join the retreat, the promoters will often go take photos and videos of the campsite and project a mental picture, how much fun, how much rest, and how much spiritual benefit you can gain by going to such Christian retreats. Someone might even share a testimony of what a blast previous retreats or camps have been. This type of promotion often works very well. Actually, without such promotion, you'll see that the attendance often will turn out to be very low. Why? Why does do the retreat have to be promoted for people to go? It is because people are very practical. And they need to be shown. They need to be convinced. And even if it's something good, even if it's something that has value, they need to be shown that indeed is good and has value. And then they're willing to invest their money and their time in it. The more benefits they see, the more elaborated the benefits that are described, just like in the infomercials on TV, the more likely that people would pay action to invest their money and their time into it. But once you have made the decision, it's only the beginning. Because you'll feel so excited about it that you'll prepare well for a wonderful experience. This applies to a trip too. I had my honeymoon in Hawaii, but even before I went there, I looked at the pictures of Maui, beautiful place, the beautiful beach, and I was feeling so excited. My wife and I, we were preparing for such a wonderful experience. I'm sure when that day comes that you will go for your honeymoon. Before that, you'll do a lot of research and you'll be so excited after finding out after you have decided where to go to. For the same reasons, God has also revealed to us the details of believers' eternal home. Eternal home in the new heaven and new earth. Why? To give us hope and to give us strength, not to give up during suffering now. And to motivate us to prepare well for our eternal, perfect, and joyful future with God. This will get you excited if you really understand what heaven is like. But the other side is to show how much one will have missed out not to be there. This is a strong and positive reason for people to trust in Christ alone. To have eternal life with God, this is where one should try to get in at any cost. If you know it is such a good place to be, if you have to even pay for any cost, you'll be willing to pay for it. Another strong but negative reason for people to trust in Christ alone, to have eternal life with God, is the horror of hell, which one should try to avoid at any cost. Last time, through Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 to 15, we saw the horror of being in hell, of all non-believers of Jesus Christ. But today, through Revelation chapter 21, open your Bible to chapter 21 of Revelation, verse 1 to verse 8, we will see the eternal joy instead of horror. We'll see the eternal joy of being in the new heavens and new earth. Eternal joy in new heaven and new earth instead of horror of being in hell. And this is for all believers of Jesus Christ. First, we'll learn what new heaven and new earth is like. Verse 1, John the Apostle, "Then I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. What is the new heaven and new earth like? It is a completely new creation. It is not a renovation of the earth, the heaven that we have now. Not a renovation, it is a complete new creation. Why do I say so? It's because it says that for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, being destroyed. Another evidence, there was no longer any sea. Do you know the majority of planet earth is covered by sea, by water? But in the new earth, in the future, on the new earth, there will be no more sea. It is a new creation by God. And the new heaven is the atmosphere above the new earth and the space above it. If God will create a new heaven and new earth for us, how should we respond? We have a new heaven and new earth that is perfect. Unlike this one, because of our sin, corrupting God's original, good, perfect creation, but the future new heaven and new earth, there will be no sin. It's a perfect place. So we should thank God. We should thank God for creating a new, eternally perfect world for our eternal life with Him. But let's take a closer look at our future new home. What is nice? New Jerusalem. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. The holy city, the new Jerusalem, is also a new creation, not a renovation of the Jerusalem that we have on our existing earth. Again, it is because the first Jerusalem would be destroyed when the first earth, this, is destroyed in the future. I think this is a very interesting thought, but I believe this might be true. The new Jerusalem could have been created immediately after rapture. Do you still remember what is rapture? What is rapture? Could someone help me to define rapture? By asking you the question and you answer it, it will sink into your mind, you'll remember it. So what is rapture, Jesse?
Believers being caught up in heaven.
That's pretty good, huh? That's the immediate prophecy that will be fulfilled when Jesus, before Jesus Christ comes back on earth. He will first catch up all the believers into air, resurrect the dead believers, and together with the living believers whose body will be transformed, they will be raptured into the air to meet with Jesus Christ. And as a result, they don't need to go through the 7 years of tribulation, the 7 years of huge disasters on planet Earth to judge those disobedient people. Some of them will become believers because they see that the Bible is true. Talks about these long before these take place. But where would the believers be at once they are being raptured? Of course, we have the new body, we can be in air. But you don't want to be hanging in air all the time, right? You don't. With the resurrection body, you do want to have a seat. You know, sometimes you just sit down. I think that would be nice. Jesus Christ could sit with his resurrection body. He could eat a fish. Okay? So, I believe immediately after rapture, the new Jerusalem will already have been created for the raptured believers. And that's where they will stay. During the tribulation, they'll be free from the suffering. They'll be in New Jerusalem. And after the tribulation, Jesus Christ will come back to rule for 1,000 years. We call that the millennium. And these believers, resurrected believers, will still be in New Jerusalem. But at that time, you know that 1,000 years, the current Jerusalem will be renovated, but there is still a Jerusalem on planet Earth. So there cannot be two Jerusalem at the same time. I believe the new Jerusalem at that time would be like a huge spacecraft and hanging in space. But the believers, resurrected believers, they will be free to come down to the renovated earth during that 1,000 years to rule with Jesus together in Christ's perfect government on earth. And then, afterwards, when they are done with their ruling, they need to rest, they can go back to that huge spacecraft, New Jerusalem. Why do I say so? John chapter 14, verse 1 to verse 6, Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas, the doubter, said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Then Jesus answered, "I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now we know by trusting in Christ alone, we can go to heaven for sure. But we will be first be staying in New Jerusalem before the new heaven and new earth are created. That's why we see here, it says that I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. It will be one of the most beautiful creations by God. And this is suitable for the resurrected believers to live. How should we respond to that? God will create the new heaven and the new earth. But for us, the believers of Jesus Christ, Jesus will take extra good care of believers of Jesus Christ now, more than others who will believe in Jesus Christ during tribulation. They will actually go through a lot of suffering. Some of them will face persecution to the point of death. But whoever believes in Jesus Christ now, they will be raptured, they will be free from the huge disasters during the 7 years of tribulation. They will be free from the war that will take place at the end of tribulation, Satan, the beast, and the false prophet against Jesus Christ. That will be a huge war. And even at the end of the 1,000 years of Jesus' rule on earth, these rebellious people, the rebellious children of the surviving believers during tribulation, will rebel against Christ again. So there will be almost another war, but again, the resurrected believers, at that time, they will be out of the renovated planet Earth. They will be in New Jerusalem. And then, before new heaven and new earth are created, the old ones will be destroyed. Where will the resurrected believers be? Again, in New Jerusalem. So, that's why I believe that New Jerusalem will have already been created immediately after rapture. That's the place that Jesus Christ now is preparing for us to live. I think we should really thank God for taking such good care of us, the resurrected believers. I think, according to the Bible, I believe all those people who are resurrected during the first resurrection, they are blessed. But those who are resurrected at rapture, they are more blessed, because they'll be free from all those disasters, wars, destruction of the first heaven and the earth after rapture. So be thankful to God for making such good arrangements for believers now. Thirdly, we'll see perfect joy living with God. Verse 3, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with man, and he will live with them. They will be his people, And God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Have you cried before? Put up your hand. I've cried before. Even now, sometimes I cry, and for different reasons. Have you cried before when you suffered physical or mental pain?
Mm-hmm.
Yes? Illness? Sometimes temporarily separated from your parents because they are on a business trip. I have been separated from my parents for 3 years when I was a child. When they went to Hong Kong, I was still left in mainland China, and I actually cried the night that they left me. Cried all night. And unfair treatment. Some people will discriminate you because you are Chinese. You're the minority. When I went to Hong Kong, I was discriminated because I couldn't speak Cantonese. Okay? And how about death of a beloved family member? My father already passed away. And I cried in his funeral. Or a dear friend. Or maybe in the future, your own physical death. All these will cause so much pain that you will cry. And I've cried in most of the above mentioned occasions. Why do all these happen? Why is there so much pain? It's all because of sin. But sin will be done away with, and we will be restored back to intimate relationship with our God, who created us, provided for our needs, saved us from our own sin's judgment, through Jesus Christ, guided us through His Holy Spirit, and created for us a perfect home where we can see God face to face. Because of our sin, there is suffering and pain. But because of what Jesus has done for us, will do for us, there will be no more pain in heaven, new heaven and new earth. That's the most wonderful place to be. So, Jesus is our only eternal hope in this suffering world. Jesus is our only eternal hope. Verse 5 says that He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then He said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." Verse 6, He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last letter in Greek alphabet, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life." Jesus is the one who will make all these wonderful things happen for us, the believers of Jesus Christ. And will be eternally fulfilled by Him. It says that, "To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life." All our needs will be fulfilled when we are in new heaven and new earth. Even now, Jesus is making everything work for the good of all true believers of Jesus Christ. So Jesus is our only eternal hope in the suffering and hopeless world. Believers are so blessed, but not the unbelievers that we'll see. Revelation chapter 21 verse 7 says that, "He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderer, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur, also called hell. This is the second death. What does it mean by he who overcomes? What to overcome? Who are these people? I did a word study of this word in Greek. He who overcomes is a word in Greek that means he who is a conqueror or who wins a victory. The victor, the conqueror. But what do these people fight against? I believe they would be victors or conquerors in these areas. First, over his own sins. How to win, conquer, overcome our own sins? By saying no to sin and sin next and next as we live on our life here by the power of the Holy Spirit. Second, win, overcome, conquer over the world and its temptations by not living for fame, power, reputation, wealth, fashion, pleasure, and sex, and other worldly things that prevent us from living for God's kingdom and righteousness. By God's power through the Holy Spirit, because we believe in Jesus Christ, we will have the power to overcome over the world and its temptations. Third, over the ills and the trials in life. By focusing on Christ and his eternal kingdom and righteousness, and understanding the purpose of trials in our life. Recently, quite a few brothers got ill and even been hospitalized. I believe they suffered great pain in the process. Have you been ill recently? Even as I speak now, Daniel just put up your chair. I have sore throat, so I'm not seriously ill, but over the past few weeks, I mean, I feel like this every day almost. I'm not sure if it's allergy or other reasons or a cold that is not developed into a serious illness yet. But there will be a lot of pain and trials in our life, even to Christians. Pastor Todd Werling, I forward his email to you. His brother's newborn daughter is dying, according to the doctor. We just prayed in Sunday school that by God's will, if it's God's will, the daughter can be healed, because the doctor doesn't really know everything. God knows everything. God can heal even someone, resurrect someone who has died, as we have seen in the Gospels. Jesus Christ could. Pastor Todd's brother and his wife is crushed by this. They're believers, but they're really, really crushed by this experience. But I believe by God's power, by the Holy Spirit, through the love from Christians like Pastor Todd to his own brother, he traveled to Houston on Friday to visit his brother and to comfort him and his wife, that we will be able to triumph, to overcome, to conquer, even over such trials in our life, and won't lose faith. Because we understand that through these trials, it is God's purpose for us to have stronger faith in God. Because trials will create in us perseverance. Perseverance will create in us godly character. If you have not lived life long enough, you realize that life is like a wall. Especially the Christian life, it is like a wall. Even not the physical wall that you see, it is the spiritual wall every day. Do you know how many people have fallen in the conflict with evil, the war against evil? But those people who remain alert by trusting in Christ in the war will surely be received as conquerors. In the end, we will be conquerors. All believers will be the ones who overcome, and they will inherit eternal life in the new heaven and new earth. an eternally perfect place to be with God. And God will treat us as if we were His Son. We have a close, intimate relationship with God, seeing God face to face. Like in this picture, literally, I believe we'll be able to hug Jesus, our Savior and our Lord now. We'll be with Jesus face to face every day. Romans chapter 8, verse 35 to 39 assures that we will be conquerors. We will be the ones who will conquer, overcome. 35, Romans chapter 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What an awesome promise that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. We will all be more than conquerors, and we will inherit eternal life with God in new heaven and new earth. But again, I mentioned not all would inherit eternal life in new heaven and new earth. Who are the ones who will not inherit eternal life in new heaven and new earth? Verse 8 tells us clearly. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Who are the people who go to hell instead of heaven? Those who practice the sins of the unbelieving world. This passage is not affirming salvation by works, that you need to do this and do that to be good, then you can go to heaven. No, nobody can, by doing good works, be good enough in God's eyes to go to heaven. But here it is referring to that if you truly have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's the only thing you need to do to have eternal life. God's Spirit will be in you, and then you have the power of the Holy Spirit to help you to do such good works in order to glorify God. Because God is holy, His Spirit is holy. When His Holy Spirit is in us, we will be able to live a holy life. That's why we will not be the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, sexually immoral, practice magic arts, idolaters, and all liars. But what do each of these terms mean? And what kind of sin one will commit being cowardly? I've done some studies. Cowardly refers to people who are afraid to let people know their faith in God. If they continue to be afraid to let people know their faith in God, one reason might be that they don't really have the true saving faith in Jesus Christ. That's why they're still so scared of letting people know that they are a Christian, they are a believer of Jesus Christ. Second, unbelieving. People who don't have true faith in God. Vile, also translated as abominable or detestable in some other translations. These are the people who openly live in sin. Openly live in sin. Doing all the immoral things in public. They don't care what people think about them. They do things that God detests. That's why they are the detestable. Murderers, people who kill other people. People who kill other people, literally. I believe the following would be exception to murderers. In a life-threatening situation, someone is trying to kill you, trying to defend yourself and your family members who are going to be killed, you might try to stop such violence and kill someone. I believe this is not... categorized as a murderer. Or legitimate capital punishment of some violent criminals. You know, some countries have capital punishment. You kill someone, there's evidence to show that, and you'll be receiving capital punishment if you kill. So whoever is executing the criminal, that person cannot be called a murderer. He's just executing the law. Similarly, in a justified war to protect the innocent people, soldiers might kill. But they might be killing someone who is trying to hurt them and others. So that is also justified killing. Well, any other killing, if you do that, you'll be a murderer. So sexually immoral, in Greek, sexually immoral, the word is porneia. It's often translated as fornication. From this word comes the word pornography. Porneia, pornography. This refers to any sexual relationship or conduct outside of the holy sexual relationship between the husband and the wife, in a marriage relationship between one man and one woman. I have to define it so clearly because people are confused about what is marriage nowadays. Examples of such things are adultery, sexual relationship outside the marriage, premarital sex. Before people get married, they already want to experience what sex is like, so they have premarital sex. Prostitution, viewing pornography, so on and so forth. All these can be categorized under sexually immoral. And people willfully do these things because they don't have the Spirit of God to help them to resist these temptations. That's why these people who are unbelievers, they will not inherit eternal life. Or practice magic arts. People who practice witchcraft. What Harry Potter and his witchcraft schoolmates practice. I have to say that is not a good thing in the Bible. That's a sin in the Bible. And people who willfully continue to practice magic arts or witchcraft shows that they don't really trust in God, but they trust in those things, sometimes worshiping those things as if that is God. Idolaters, worshiping idols, false gods other than the only one God in three persons who created heavens and earth, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. If you worship any God other than this true God described in the Bible, you are an idolater. Shows that you don't trust in the true God. As a result, you would not be able to inherit eternal life. Liars, all who are deceiving to God and deceiving to people, they are liars. Again, all these things, if you are practicing these without even feeling anything wrong about it, you are not saved yet. What you need to do is to trust in Christ, and God will give you power through the power of the Holy Spirit to get rid of these sins that corrupts your life and corrupts other people's lives. That's what's causing the pain in this earth, in this world. But some of you might be saying that some of these things, even after I've become a believer, I have also practiced. I mean, what do you say about that? If you have practiced these after trusting Christ alone, I believe one reason is that you were ignorant about these things. So you committed a sin out of ignorance. So now I'm telling you that don't do these again. By reading God's word in the Bible, knowing what's God's will, praying and resisting to do these again, God will give you the power to do it. The renowned 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon told this story about King Cyrus. Anyone knows who is King Cyrus? He was the man who conquered Babylon and freed the Jews from captivity, if you know Jewish history, in the Old Testament. A visitor who was admiring Cyrus' garden said it gave him much pleasure. The garden was beautiful. "Ah," said Cyrus, "but you have not so much pleasure in this garden as I have, for I have planted every tree in it myself." Cyrus, as the king, he planted all the trees in the garden that's so beautiful. As a result, he enjoyed a fuller joy and pleasure in the garden. Spurgeon then commented, "What reason some believers will have a greater fullness of heaven than others will be that they did more for heaven than others. By God's grace, they were enabled to bring more souls to heaven." Let me ask you, how many people will be in heaven because of you? Our desire should be that when we reach our eternal home, some would say to us, "I'm so thankful for you. It was your testimony, your life, your invitation to accept Christ that accounts for my being here today." Will you be one of these people? Because of what you have said, you have done, and sharing the gospel with people, that some people will go to heaven. The Apostle Paul anticipated the joy in heaven of seeing people who were there as a result of what he did for God's kingdom, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. Paul says that, "For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy." Paul's hope, joy, and crown, his future reward, will be closely related to what he did on earth to help people to trust in Christ to be saved and to build them up to live a holy life for God as well. Heaven's joy will be fullness for those who have helped lead others to Christ or help them to grow in Christ. So let us try to do everything that we can to bring people to heaven, the most wonderful place. And that's how you can lay up treasure and pleasures in heaven, seeing people being saved because of what you have done for God. Now we finally know clearly through God's word how wonderful heaven will be. As I mentioned, when you go to a retreat, you want to know what the campsite is like, what you'll be doing, what benefit will you get. Heaven will be our eternal retreat, campsite with God. If we know that's where we are going, let us be thankful, let us be motivated, let us be excited and strong about the eternal destination of our journey on earth. This is temporary. It is a journey for us from here to get there. If we know how good heaven will be, and we know that we need to prepare for that, let's be prepared. Let's not just sit there doing nothing to prepare for your life in heaven. Your joy will be fullness when you also try to plant the trees in the garden of heaven by bringing people to trust in Christ. Let's pray. Oh dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for revealing to us the beauty of heaven, the beautiful inheritance true believer of Jesus Christ will receive in new heaven and new earth, where there will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more illness, no more suffering that we experience now because of sin. Thank you for your wonderful grace, not just to save us, but also prepare for us such a wonderful, perfect, eternal home for us. But we know how much we'll enjoy it. Also, it's related to how much we prepare for our future eternal dwelling in heaven. I just pray for each one of us who have already truly trusted Jesus Christ to be saved, that they will do everything to also bring other people who have not trusted Christ alone to be saved there to heaven, so that they will be so joyful when people in heaven will come to them saying that it is because of them that they are in heaven. Give us the power from the Holy Spirit, give us the will, and give us the wisdom to put this in practice. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.